This goes off without a hitch, I'll be impressed. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend our June school board meeting. I would like to ask that those of you who are present in the high school cafeteria, as well as those joining us by Zoom this evening, to please observe a moment of silence to reflect on the need for unity and understanding in our school district, as well as in our nation. And that will be followed by the pledge to the flag. Please rise. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, looking at the roll, board members, Mrs. Heaston and Mr. Wingard are online via Zoom. Mrs. Hostler had an unexpected problem in her family and is unable to be here tonight. And the remaining board members are present here in the high school cafeteria. I should also point out that prior to this evening's public board meeting, we held an executive session to discuss various legal and personnel matters. And now we'll move to the approval of our agenda for this evening. Entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve the board agenda as presented.
Have a motion, is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of this evening's agenda indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Our agenda is approved. And now is the opportunity for, first of two opportunities actually, for comments from the public. If any member of the public who is joining us by Zoom would like to make a comment, please use the wave feature and you'll be recognized by Mr. Stauffer. I would ask that you limit your comments to our customary two-minute limitation. And in the event there's a group of you who are going to comment on the same issue, I would ask you to consolidate those comments into a single person speaking on your behalf. So with that, please indicate if you would like to make a comment to the board.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, there are no hands raised.
Okay, seeing none, let's move on to our special presentations. And we'll start with the feasibility study update, Dr. Dahl, and our friends from RLPS.
Thank you. And as you're aware, Dallastown is currently participating in a feasibility study that will provide an excellent opportunity to explore potential program infrastructure updates that will foster long-term viability. The study is being led by RLPS, specifically Mr. Chris Linke and Mr. Andy Bladen. And for those, obviously as board members, but those in the audience, those names may sound familiar because we've worked closely with them throughout the Loganville Springfield Elementary School project. This evening, we will have Mr. Linke and Mr. Bladen provide an update on where we are in regard to the feasibility study. There has been a great deal of work, and I'd like to thank the number of parent, teacher, administrative volunteers that have helped to provide input, as well as feedback from our Buildings and Grounds Department. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Linke and Mr. Bladen for that update.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here tonight. Dr. Dahl said we only had 2 hours to go over this, so we're going to get started.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
So, as Dr. Dahl said, this is, informative, just give you an update on the process that we're going through and where what ground we have covered and ground we have yet to cover, and kind of give you a background of what we're doing. When we get to July 14th, there's a board workshop, and that's going to be a more interactive discussion at that point. This just gives you a heads up, some of the things we're covering till we get to that point. So,
yeah, and with that said, I think just because they do have a lot of information they're covering this evening, it probably is best there'll be a time at the end to ask questions and provide your comment, so we can just respect them moving through the presentation pretty quick, and then we can always go back if there are specific questions.
Sure. So this is just an outline of the different areas we're going to cover tonight. The first thing we're going to talk about is our schedule and our process and where we are in that. Looking down, there's an information gathering process that we have. And if you look at that chart, the blue line is on the calendar going vertical is where we are today. So the items in the bars to the left in red and blue is really the information gathering. When we get into the green bar on the right, that's where we start getting into options. So we have the information gathering, we have the process that we're in right now with evaluation and analysis, and then we will come back with options that you'll get to see preliminary options in July.
All right, so the information gathering phase really has covered a lot of bases for us. Ourselves and our consultant teams have walked through all of your facilities to do a facility evaluation, assess the condition of the facilities, and also understand how you're using your facilities. We've sent out questionnaires to your administrative team, so thank you for those individuals for answering those. We've had a number of focus groups, six, I believe, digitally. Virtual focus groups, so that was exciting. We've talked to many of your, especially particularly the elementary school principals, to understand how their buildings are run and used as well. We've met with your special education team, and of course, we're working with your steering committee now, which some of you are members of. After that information gathering and the evaluation of that information, we of course will get to the part that everybody is excited to see or hear about, and that's the options. And we're showing here are the options we developed, if you remember, for the Loganville Springfield project. That the process for your district-wide feasibility study will be very similar. We look at a lot of options, we get input from yourselves and other stakeholders, and keep narrowing those options down until we have final options with your feasibility study that are all viable options for the district.
And two things we want to say here. This is where we need to be creative and look 360 at all options. You may want to dismiss some of them in the beginning, but it's important to evaluate them and dismiss them on their merit. The other part of this is we really want to drive you to a conclusion at the end, not just leave you with five options that you don't have a direction.
Perfect. So, sure. So here's one of our, after moving on from the options to your information collection, we're going to do an overview of a few of the different segments we collected information from. We had six focus groups. We had two different leadership team focus groups, faculty, staff, PTO, as well as, of course, yourselves, the board, participating. This is one of the focus groups, I believe, with faculty that we had there as a virtual session. Using Poll Everywhere software, we got answers to a number of questions that we asked across the board.
And what we're really trying to outline there is our process is inclusive. We like to collaborate with the school district to come to a conclusion. It's not us coming up with something and then giving it to you. So part of the focus groups is we had, you know, six different groups that we talked about. We had over 1,600 responses to the 14 questions that we had. We had 14 questions that we each asked each of the groups. And overall, 1,600 responses, that is what we're going through and evaluating. Go to the next one.
Sure. Well, you see what's on there were the values, but everybody had, every group had virtually equal, equitable responses.
So this was the last question in that focus group. In one word, what does Dallastown Area School District mean to you? So you see the most the popular answer, and then the colors on that bar chart tell you what group had the most answers in that piece. So what this one tells you is just the positive nature of the people that are involved in this focus group and the good energy that you have behind this. Another question that we had was if there is future enrollment growth, how should it be handled? And so as you get into it a little bit more, one of the things that surprised us is redistricting. The bar to the left talked about redistricting, that I think all groups understand that's part of the process. If something you have to look at may not be what you want to do. So we're just trying to say at a high level, the focus groups and the information we gather, we can break down into further information to help us direct us along with our study.
Very good. So following the focus groups, we're getting into it with your steering committee and working through educational specifications. And that deals with the as much as the why of why you educate and how you educate your students to the tangible stuff, the bricks and mortar, the building size, classroom size, and those sorts of things. Covers the educational specifications cover a lot of bases. It really takes an understanding of what the classrooms you have, and this being one, and then defining what the classrooms are that you need. This, of course, being one of the finished classrooms, kindergarten classrooms from Loganville. Speaking of, sure.
So one of the things I just want to hit there is in this ed spec review with the different groups, what we really encourage is try get people to look beyond the buildings that they're in now. You're trying to look for something 10, 15 years down the road. So we've had a discussion that, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of our Loganville Springfield. You have to identify your needs, but this is also a time to identify your wants, and then you will balance them at the end. So your middle school, high school principal will all verse in that, and we're had a hard time looking past the needs to the wants. So we're trying to encourage that with them.
And really, as Chris has said, the wants versus needs, the drivers for the educational specification, you know, you start off with enrollment versus capacity. If this was 10, 15 years ago, as architects, we could look at your enrollment, we could look at the capacity you need in your buildings, and we could have kicked out an educational specification and fulfilled the need for your feasibility study. But as time has gone on, there's a lot more that goes into an educational specification today. One of the paramount segments is a special education student support, growing needs within your district that need programs that need to have spaces for the students to learn and be enriched in. And also the strive to have a future ready classroom, a classroom that is designed the way you might have designed a classroom from the 1990s, something that's looking forward reaching and is adaptable for future uses.
And one of your special education teachers explained to us over the past 5-8 years, enrollment in the school may have increased by 3%, but their spatial needs have increased by 32%. So that's where you get into space crunch in your buildings and you work your way into your closets and quarters to have classes and meetings.
There's a lot of discussion and rationale behind, but if you call back again to our Loganville Springfield process, the end result is a room list. It's an educational specification that defines the quantity of spaces, the size of the spaces, and from that, the finished plan, the building project is realized. So very similar looking not just at one building, but at all your district buildings. We're developing a specification for all your buildings. So for instance, this is your elementary schools, and on the left-hand side, using Loganville Springfield as a baseline, taking the spaces that were designed into that building and applying those across the other buildings as a starting point for us. But using your steering committee as a sounding board, it's also an opportunity to say, for instance, with the elementary level, here's what was done with Loganville Springfield and its design. Is there a 2.0? Are there some things that we can improve upon that as you go forward throughout your rest of your elementary schools?
And we just want to give you a chart that you really couldn't read too.
It's a lot of data, just trying to drive that home. But it gets distilled down into, you know, some diagrams as well to understand how your buildings are arranged. For instance, the elementary level with the classrooms, the specials, administrative areas. And also part of the educational specifications, understanding how, like for instance, your intermediate school is actually organized and run. And then moving on here to your secondary campus, defining the organization for the middle school and the high school, and then starting to ask those tough questions and the far out outside the box questions. There's a lot of different things, such as this cafeteria that we're in on the secondary campus. Are there opportunities to share or leverage spaces between the two facilities, middle school and the high school? So this is part of defining that and working through with your
students. Yeah, we use this diagram to ask questions, not saying this is the way it should run, but how do you want it to run? Breaking it down into simple shapes instead of getting too lost in long lists.
And so with the bricks and mortar and the size of the buildings, of course, you have to consider enrollment as well.
So Decision Insight did enrollment study for you, 2018, so about 2 years. And some of the graphs from that. So your enrollment is probably going to grow for the next 5 years, and then it'll taper off a little bit. Right now, I'm going to go back a second.
Sure.
So right now, they did enrollments for 2018, projecting for 19, and then you have real counts from this past year, and you're probably even 1% more or less above what those counts were. So you're tracking a little bit higher. This is where it indicates about 5 years out, you probably top off and then you start coming down a little bit. In 10 years, you're getting down. They do a conservative estimate and a modified, I forget what the other one is. And in 10 years, you drop down to just a little bit below where you are now. But that's always a tricky part in why you hire Decision Insight, because after you get past 5 years, you're beyond line burst. So you're using other empirical information to figure out where they're going with that. The other thing that we want to do is we want to probably re-engage with Decision Insight to assist us in development of redistricting options. We know as part of the options, something's going to be redistricted. Decision Insight is great that they can do that live. They can draw boundaries and you can see how your enrollment will change with their enrollment projections.
So moving on to kind of the final segment here, we're talking about with you, sharing with you this evening, the evaluation of your existing facilities, going through your existing facilities, much in the same way we did with Loganville Springfield, looking at the bricks and mortar, the mechanical, electrical, plumbing systems, the site as a whole, as well as the general building and your quality of your educational spaces and coming up with a rating for those buildings. So this is the start of that chart, looking at your five elementary schools, of course, of which one is Loganville Springfield, looking at your intermediate school, and then the two buildings here, so to speak, on your secondary campus, the middle school and high school, and some square footage amounts. Part of our job as we go through here is back-checking, as we described to Dr. Dahl today, some of the verifying building square footages and those sorts of things. You may see some square footage, for instance, at York Township that are lower than what you're used to seeing, and that's just a process of going through and taking using takeoffs off the plans and verifying those square footages. It helps us to truly plan the correct size additions, right size additions for your buildings.
Yeah, it's interesting, Andy, Ms. Bladen pointed out today, because for years we've been saying that York Township is 101,000 square foot. Through his calculation, I forget how he figured it out. I don't think it was a tape measure.
Just shy of 84,000 square feet total. That's inside the exterior walls, but I was able to replicate the 101,000 square foot number by adding in the courtyard in the middle of York Township, as well as counting the second story open space above your gymnasium. So it's easy, it's an easy misquantification to make as you're doing takeoffs of plans, if you're not thinking about the areas of the courtyards and those sorts of things. But still we want to go back with Jim and yourself, Dr. Dahl, and just make sure we're looking at the right number here. But that's part of what we're doing, is making sure that we understand where all your properties are. For instance, also at Leader Heights, you have two parcels of land there, not just the parcel the school's on, but a contiguous triangular parcel. And just looking at your York County assessment maps to verify, you know, what land you're on, that's what we're doing as part of this study.
So it's just one of those aha moments. As we were going through Loganville Springfield, we could never compare it to York Township, but we couldn't figure out why. And there was just a bad number in there. So that's why we always went to Ore Valley, one of the other ones.
So beyond those baseline facts, though, that you can actually do takeoff lines, then we're developing a rating system using a similar rating system we used for Loganville Springfield at zero, which would be unsatisfactory value up to a 4, which would be a satisfactory value, and quantifying all of those and getting you an overall building condition score then, or rating for each of your buildings.
So that rating system is for Association for Learning Environments. It's a standard point system that it takes the emotion out of it and just makes it a point system to evaluate your buildings. And it evaluates the whole way through.
Sure. And so as we look at the different values, we distill the different categories we look at down into 3 subcategories. We bring in the overall score, looking at the general building and site, kind of quantifying the intangible, so to speak, of those areas, and specifically looking at site condition, looking at your architectural building condition, and then Barton Education also looked at your mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems as well, building-wide. And you know, they show the numbers, I think, start to reflect once they're quantified some of the realities of your district, where you have some older buildings, and then you have some buildings that were built 10, you have a building that was built 10 years ago. And so those point values end up trending a little bit higher, where the older buildings end up trending a little bit lower.
So one of the things that stuck out to us today as we were talking about this is Leader Heights actually tracks pretty high. And we know that envelope of that building is from 1965 or so, and it is in need of help. But at the same time, those MEP systems were replaced, 13, 14 years ago. So that tracks a little bit higher than your other buildings. And you have a nice site there that's probably one of your few sites where traffic doesn't back out onto the road or you have some real congestion issues. So it takes an overall value, not just bricks and sticks and the MEP system, but everything at a holistic glance.
Exactly. So what we'll do is we'll go through each building. We're going to highlight a few high-level bullet point items for each building. Any questions tonight or at your workshop, we definitely get into the brass tacks, so to speak. Looking first here at Dallastown Elementary, of course, here in Dallastown Borough. First and foremost, the red bullet point, site and security. You have Dallastown Elementary has an annex where, of course, your cafeteria and gymnasium are on the other side of the street from the classroom building itself. Being separate, students passing back and forth to use classroom spaces and the gymnasium space, the cafeteria space on one side of the street or the other, certainly is one of those items.
Accessibility, we know we have accessibility issues in that building, so that limits what you can do with some students there. So we look at that as something that sticks out. And then the last one that we have on there is the neighborhood school. It's smaller than your other schools. It's in the community and
walkable.
We're not saying because it's red that it's bad or it's good. These are just things that might stick out a little bit more than you have at other schools.
Now, moving on to Leader Heights. Again, that's a building that has between 170 to 200 students in it. It's a smaller building at just over 30,000 square feet. But it has a 1965 era envelope, like Chris said. But there's a lot of positives there with the site. One thing that's interesting, in conversations prior to this evening and leading up to this evening, Ore Valley always comes up as the elementary school that's stuffed to the gills and without an inch to spare. Leader Heights in reality is much the same way, but I think it's really not as apparent as it would be at Ore Valley because of the student body size. Leader Heights, their staff and principal are very adept at utilizing spaces within the building, double, triple scheduling spaces to make it work. If it was a larger building with a larger student body like Ore Valley, it would look very similar, I believe. And part and parcel of that is that Leader Heights, the other bullet point there, it only has one large common space. It has a cafeteria, which also serves as a gymnasium, which also serves as their auditorium. And it is not a full-size gymnasium space, such as we have designed into Loganville Springfield. It is really only about a half to two-thirds size gymnasium space. On to Ore Valley. This is one of the, really for all, just about all your buildings except for Leader Heights, we could highlight site circulation and parking needs. It's something that's apparent as your student bodies have increased and the amount of quantity of parents picking up and dropping off and just transportation needs for your students. Something that's come apparent, arrival and dismissal.
So Ore Valley is in the same vintage as York Township, but they have different needs. Ore Valley, they're higher on the mechanical needs and the utilization. Or you're going to see York Township has a lot more envelope issues with that building, but the mechanical system seems to be faring better at that location.
As we indicated there, we're talking about Leader Heights. It really is, or Valley is at your maximum capacity for the spaces that are allowed, are there in the building. Spaces that were not intended for small group instruction or special education, such as your LGI, the upper photo, are being used by four different educators at the same time. There's also creative use of circulation space throughout the building for additional educational space.
So again, when we talked about Loganville Springfield, we had the picture of the corridor with a six itinerant desk in that corridor, or paraprofessionals. This is much the same way right now.
Moving on to York Township, your centrally located elementary school. We're well aware of the site circulation and traffic issues there, not just because of your own property and buildings use, but just that development has expanded surrounding the site, just natural traffic flow throughout. As Chris has said, it's interesting. They were built virtually at the same time, designed at the same time. York Township has some envelope issues. From the precast stone spalling and chipping away, to areas the lintels over some of the windows are starting to age out. I don't necessarily say fail, but they're pushing out the building. So there's some issues with the windows and doors and the exterior envelope of this building just being at the point where they need to be replaced. It's a 1990 era addition. Just for renovations, it's 30 years down the road. There are things that need to have some replacement. And it's interesting with the layout of this building, there's a lot of classrooms, which we think is why you have, of course, you're using a number of the classrooms for different special education uses. But there's a lot of support spaces, smaller instructional spaces that support those classrooms. And potentially there's definitely some additional capacity.
There's some flexibility there, we think. Intermediate school, I mean, that's one of your newest completed buildings. This is probably just a petty little list. We're going to put a list together. Other than site circulation is problematic for you for pickup, drop off, and for big events, you have parking issues.
And moving on here to the middle and high school, the secondary campus, we've already talked about site improvement items and other points of concern, so just acknowledging that. One thing that's very clear, not just from our own walkthrough of these buildings, specifically the middle school, but also the high school, but it also came up freely in the focus groups with various groups, you know, wayfinding and just clarity of circulation through these buildings is definitely something that needs to be improved. It may seem like a small item, but it allows your students, staff, and visitors, parents to get through the building. Good wayfinding allows them to get through the building quickly and succinctly. There's a lot of corridors that look the same in this building, and it can be difficult to find your way through. And that kind of leads into just the general overcrowding, not just with the hallways and circulation, but in classroom spaces here too. Your staff and faculty are very strong and adept at utilizing spaces in creative ways to deliver instruction to your students. But there definitely is room to improve that for them to make their lives easier in the educational process.
It's maxed out.
So look at the exteriors there. What's one of the strengths, but also a challenge moving forward as buildings age is your central plant. These buildings are tied together with a rather impressive boiler room, mechanical room space, and all the infrastructure branches out throughout the facility. So you have larger, more robust equipment down there, but it's also something to look at as you move forward and replacing and maintaining those. Showing some photos of the corridors here.
It's not very often that the architect is impressed by the mechanical system, but Andy was on that one.
It's a cool space, you know, if you like nuts and bolts type of thing. So huge mechanical room. And then just looking at some of the classroom spaces, showing the science classrooms up there because some of your original science labs are used for different functions now. You have a wonderful, two wonderful libraries, media centers, learning commons here, both the middle school and the high school. On the right-hand side, you see some of those creative uses of spaces, the cardio room and the keyboarding lab. Not spaces weren't originally intended to house those use functions, but they are housing them now. As we look at master plan, not just the overall district, but these buildings, we'll look for opportunities to improve those educational spaces.
That's it for our presentation. We'll take questions.
any questions or comments?
Just probably a silly question, but can you define typical capacity versus maximum capacity?
Most certainly. The typical capacity, you can almost call it ideal capacity. That's based off of a student per classroom value number that Dr. Dahl, Dr. Heffler provided to us. The maximum capacity would be the maximum quantity of students you would like to have in a particular classroom. I think at the elementary level, it's about a 2 or 3 student swing. At the intermediate and secondary level, it's more like a 5 student swing per classroom.
So typical might be close to ideal, and then max is the most you would want.
So typical capacity does not reflect current enrollment.
It does not. No, it reflects the amount, the quantity of students, or I guess it does in many cases.
I want to do a comparison. Just looking at receiving this data, some do match up, and others have to look more closely at the enrollment.
Very good. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, our second special presentation of the evening is the update on Strive and Cyber Redesign, Dr. Heffler and Dr. Bumstead.
Welcome. Thank you very much for your time this evening. I'm going to welcome Dr. Bumstead, the principal of our Dallastown Cyber Academy and what was Strive Academy, soon to be renamed the Wildcat Compass Academy for many purposes to serve our student needs. And he's going to go through a list of things that he has been working on with a committee of staff members in order to redefine some of the opportunities in order to continue to add to the array or spectrum of opportunities for providing service for our students in ways that meet their needs creatively. So I would like to welcome Dr. Bumstead as he completes this presentation, and I'll also be sharing some numbers and financials with you as well.
Good evening, and thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm very, very excited to present to you the hard work that's come out of this collaborative effort. Dr. Heffler mentioned it has been a committee effort. Current members of what I'll call our Wildcat Compass team or family, as well as the DASD Cyber. We've also included counselors and administrators, deans, and teachers from both the middle school and the high school level to contribute their thoughts and input. So it's been a great experience. What I'd like to start off with is talking a little bit about the old Strive and the new Wildcat Compass Academy and give you an idea of why we wanted to rebrand it. So if you look here on the left, it talks about the current Strive program. When this program was started, it was started to balance out the need for students that were disruptive youth, hence the designation Alternative Education for Disruptive Youth, or AEDY. And it was in an answer in response to a lot of the outsourced placements like the River Rock, High Roads, Manitou at that time. So this program was created and started as a Twilight program. When it was originally adopted, there was more flexibility with the AEDY designation. And over the years, that flexibility has been stripped away. So the number of students, the types of students that we were able to service in this program became smaller and smaller and smaller. We used to be able to attend, for example, to students that were truants. You'll see that a lot of our students that are at risk in this district have significant attendance issues. Because of AEDY and outside reasons, Department of Justice and litigation against the Pennsylvania Department of Education regarding alternative education, they had to clamp down on that. And so suddenly we weren't able to place students that had truancy issues. So now it became strictly disruptive youth and a very, very defined, narrowed scope. So it was a limited number that we've been able to support up to this point. It's also a fragmented program. The middle school program is distinctly separate from the high school program. And in some regards, that's not a bad thing because you want to differentiate. But what we also saw was not efficient use of resources. And so by combining those, the resources together, personal staffing, space, et cetera, we're going to be able to get more bang for our buck. The staffing that we did have in the AADY was very limited. Essentially, we were running off of a half a teacher because the other half of that teacher was attending to all cyber. There were some questions, there was certification concerns. So by, again, combining our resources together, we're able to address some of those shortcomings. I also think that the Strive as it exists was overly dependent upon an online platform. And a lot of that had to do with the limited staffing. So when we sat down and we looked at, here's where we are with Strive, where do we want to be? We identified on the right side the things that were very important to us. We wanted to build a program or reimage a program that was very engaging to our students and provided a robust, rigorous learning opportunity for them. At the same time, we wanted to provide a small, intimate learning environment where the students were comfortable. A place where they could develop their own strengths and confidence and build that pathway to success. Most importantly, we want our students, when they leave us, whatever point that is, whether it's to transition back to the larger environment that the middle school and the high school have to offer, or it's beyond the walls of Dallastown into the community, the world of work, the world of college, the world of military, whatever it may be, they have coping skills and resiliency skills that they can overcome the obstacles that many of them are facing. So those were the things we were targeting. And then how are we going to do this? So the transformations that we have put into place for this year, first of all, we have dropped through correspondence with Pennsylvania Department of Education, we have dropped the AADY designation. What does that mean for us? We can now service a much broader cross-section of at-risk youth. So we have students that that not only have some behavior issues, maybe here at the high school or the middle school, but we're also able to service students that have significant truancy. We're able to service students that have anxieties. And you'll see where that comes into play from a cost, all of this comes into play from a cost-saving standpoint. We also talked about combining our resources. So now we have continuity. We're still differentiating between middle level programming and high school programming. We're not combined. We're not going to have a 12th grade student sitting beside a 7th grade student. But what we are doing is we're combining our resources so that this teacher that's working with this population can switch over, vice versa, and provide different services, different certification areas. We're incorporating more quality engaged learning. And this to me is one of the most critical things that I'm working through professional development with our staff, with our teachers, is it needs to be more than just our Odysseyware base. And don't get me wrong, I'm gonna talk in a moment about Odysseyware and why it's a quality online program, but this needs to be more than just that. We want our students to be actively engaged, collaborative, critical, higher order thinking skills. And we're planning on doing that through a variety of different ways. First and foremost, we're going to supplement those online curriculums with small group instruction. So that's important to know. Another piece that we're introducing, which I think is a great pilot that I hope will take off across our district, is this idea of personalized learning plans, where students have choice. They are actively involved in building their own learning. With rigorous benchmarks and parameters, where the teacher acts as a guide and a facilitator, not telling them what they should think, but teaching them how to think and evaluate knowledge based on things that they're interested in, still meeting critical standards of reading, writing, research. So that's another piece that we have put in there. Our program is self-paced. We're really emphasizing the self-paced instruction. So if we have a student who's at risk, let's say they're in their fourth year of high school, but they're significantly behind in credits. We have the ability to close that gap very, very quickly by providing them with high structure, but also self-pacing. So that's another element of our programming that we have. And then something that Laura Dixon in particular is going to be working on, and she's very excited about this, is a community service element. And without going into too much detail because it's still in its infancy, we want to work closely with Mr. Dyke and with other elements of some of the service to back to this community in Dallas Town that we can provide, which I think is going to be really instrumental to these students in developing empathy. We're looking at increasing the counseling opportunities for our students. Currently, with AEDY regs, it's one 30-minute segment of counseling per day. We're looking at significantly increasing that, both individual and small group. We also want to start doing building relationships and connecting with outside social agencies, whether it be Children and Youth, George Jr., which is a truancy agency, juvenile probation, who, believe it or not, some of our students are clientele of. So working closely with them so that what we're doing in school isn't lost when they leave our supports and re-enter the community in the evenings, weekends, and summer breaks. And then the last thing goes to that rebranding. Strive for better or worse, regardless of the intentions, it has a bit of a stigma. It is a place, if you were to ask students what's Strive, some students may not know. Some students would label it, oh, it's a place where the bad kids go. It's no longer a place where bad kids go. It's where unique students go to find success, to build confidence. And that's what this program really is about. Hence, there was a need for a name change. And after collaborating and thinking about this with our team members, we settled on the name Wildcat Compass Academy. Why? Because we're charting pathways to success for our students. So the benefits, obviously on the left-hand side, there are reasons for school success. We're talking about cutting down on grade retention because we know when a student falls behind, whether it's the middle school and they repeat seventh or eighth grade, or they fall behind in the credit game, it exponentially increases their probability of dropping out. Speaking of dropping out, we want to give students that feel they have no other options, we want to give them that other option to stay in school, stay engaged, get that diploma. Reducing behavioral recidivism. We see a lot of students, whether it's lack of engagement or trauma-informed, there's a reason behind their behavior, but they are frequent flyers to Mr. Mahorny and Mr. Hostetter, all right? And what we're finding is that the hardcore punishment, sticking them in ISS, OSS repeatedly, that's not making a change. So let's provide them with a different structure, more engagement, more ownership. Let's build those resiliency skills and cut down on that recidivism. The significant social emotional cost. I can tell you that the students that we've identified that we're inviting to participate in our program, many of them, when we went to our counselors, they are taking up tremendous amounts of time for our school counselors because they are high need at risk. They need that specialized attention. That then is taking the counselors away from many of the other students that fly under the radar. And so now we're giving the high risk at risk need kids, we're giving them that attention, but we're also freeing up our school counselors to do more with our students that are getting lost and falling through the cracks. And lastly, we want to make sure that we're providing a unique fit for our students. What we do here at this high school, what they do at the middle school is tremendous. It's a great program and we should all be proud of that, but it's not necessarily the right fit for every single student. And so we, because it's a much smaller microcosm, we can build individualized programming for these kids. And I think it can really make a difference. Now, we've talked a lot, I know, in the last months, particularly post-COVID or in COVID, about cost savings. And I think that building a robust program like WCA, Wildcat Compass Academy, can really address some financial issues as well. Number one, we have the ability now to significantly reduce the number of students that we're sending out to outside AEDY placements. And it's very, very costly. It's about $150 per day to place a student in River Rock or High Road, depending on their needs. That's expensive. And so while they do a great job, if we can do it in-house and do it even better, why not keep the money in-house, right? Providing an alternative to cyber charter students. I watch those cyber charters. That's one of the things Dr. Dahl has tasked me with, is making sure we're bringing those cyber charter kids back. Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is, why are they going to cyber charter? Some of these students are seeking an alternative. We have our DASD cyber, which we'll talk about here momentarily. But some of these kids and families, they want that structure. They want their student to physically go somewhere, but it's not working for them in this large environment. And I can't tell you how many students I had, families, please, can my child be put in Strive? Because we were AADY, I had to tell them, no, unfortunately, your child doesn't qualify. Right there opens a pathway to something else. And while we offer them DASD cyber, maybe they want that more structure, that more engaged model than what the cyber platform affords. And so now we have that as an avenue. We're talking about proactive interventions for students to demonstrate needs. We all know the cost of special education. So what if we can provide supports to students within the regular education platform and not have to worry about, an identification? Certainly if a student needs special ed supports, we're going to make that happen. But what if we could help them with interventions before they get to that point? We could save money. And then creatively deploying educational resources, I've already talked about that, using our resources more wisely. Okay, keep on losing it here. So that is our WCA or Wildcat Compass. The other piece of what I do is I oversee the DASD Cyber Academy. And so we ask ourselves, why DASD Cyber? What is it about this cyber program that we think is advantageous or better than your Agoras and your Commonwealth cyber charters? And there are many out there. And trust me, they're aggressively seeking our students and all other students as well. This is why I feel, and when I talk to parents, I speak to them genuinely. I tell them, I am not here to sell you on cyber. I am here to sell you on a program that's going to best work for your child. So first of all, we have gone out and we've adopted two platforms that we feel are the best in the industry. OdysseyWare for our secondary program and Edgenuity for our K through 6 program. Two great programs, platforms, well supported by the companies. We work with the IU for a great pricing on those, and we're very, very pleased with those. We have extensive online course offerings for our students, particularly at the high school level. And by bringing Edgenuity on, we've added a slew of elective opportunities for our elementary students as well. It's flexible. We give our students 24-hour a day, 7-day a week access to learning. They do learning when they want to do it, how they want to do it. They get to impose their own structure. And for some of our families, many of our families, that works wonderfully. It's self-paced. So for a student that wants to work faster, they have that opportunity. I had an 8th grade student 2 years ago. She finished her coursework because she was very industrious, very efficient. She finished her 8th grade coursework at the beginning of April. We contacted her and said, okay, what's the next step? Well, you know what? You've successfully completed this. Let's get you started on a 9th grade course. She was able to successfully complete 2 9th grade courses, come into the high school with two half credits or a full credit under her belt, which I think is pretty outstanding. That's rare, but it does provide an opportunity for our students. Full and blended options. This is something that our students that do choose to, that have chosen to go charter, cyber charter, don't have access to. I tell them, look, you don't have to be completely full cyber. You can take your classes all online if you want to, but what if there's that one class or two classes you want to physically come into school for? In working with my colleagues, the administrators in all the buildings, we've been able to build specialized programs for each of these students that they can come in, whether it be specials or co-curriculars like band, chorus, or orchestra. Literally, every opportunity that our Dallas Town brick and mortar students have, our Dallas Town cyber students also have access to. Real-time reports of student progress. Incredibly transparent. Both Edgenuity and OdysseyWare are incredibly transparent. Kids and parents and teachers know exactly where the students are, how they're performing, how they're progressing. We can drill down to individual standards to get those students help as they need help. Counseling services. Again, They have access to everything that our traditional students have, which I think is outstanding, including face-to-face supports at the secondary level. At the high school, before COVID hit, we were averaging 12 to 15 students a week that were coming in, sometimes for a period of time. Sometimes they would come in all day, and they were able to utilize the Learning Center here. So it really is a very flexible and fluid program. This gives you an idea, and I won't go into detail. I know I've talked enough here about the last two trimesters of this year and the number of students we've been able to service. So where we're looking at for this coming school year, I already mentioned K through six, we're going to be using an Edgenuity platform. And in 7 through 12, and the Odysseyware platform, which we are very comfortable with. We are also utilizing our teachers at the secondary level, 7 through 12. That is where the critical mass of our students are. But then now, that by drilling down to the kindergarten level, we're able to offer a service to those families right off the bat. Because I tell you, once they found a home with a cyber charter school, they develop a comfort going to remain there. And this gives you an idea of cyber expenses versus cyber charter tuition. Bottom line, we can do it better, we can do it cheaper, and we can keep our students here and make them part of our Dallastown community. We can also use our existing program, both cyber and WCA, again, from a cost-cutting standpoint. We're supporting our Compass students. It serves as an opportunity for credit recovery. We can utilize it to support our homebound population. So a student that can't physically get to school for a period of time, instead we can support them through a cheaper means than having to hire an individual tutor. And quite honestly, we can save money when we have to do that unpleasant business of expelling a student. We now have avenues to provide them with a quality education without having to send them to an outsource.
Thank you, Dr. Bumstead. Do you have any questions regarding that component before I move into some of the numbers?
I can wait. Maybe you'll answer it.
Okay.
I have a question. As we look to re-entry into the school, we're likely to have some parents that aren't quite ready yet to send their kids back to the brick and mortar school, but maybe in a few months. Mm-hmm. So what strategies will be used to align the curriculum of the online with the curriculum that's taking place inside the school?
That's a great question, and we've already started to think about that. So both programs meet Pennsylvania standards. It's not completely parallel. They cover the same content. But they may not be on the same exact page when it comes to unit for unit in a subject area. All the courses are the same. When a seventh grade student takes ancient civilizations in seventh grade, they're taking a parallel course here. So content-wise, it is clean. What we seek when we have a K through 8 student who's taking a year-long course, what we seek are natural opportunities to bring them back. So if a student indicates that our family indicates that they'd like to transition back, we seek to build those bridges, and I work very closely with the building principals and counselors. At the high school level, what we do, we have the luxury of changing every trimester with new classes. And so when a student, for example, a student would start the year out with us, they would be with us for a trimester, but at the end of that first trimester, they would be able to transition wholesale or blended, whatever their choice is, back into the high school model. And again, working very closely hand in hand with the counselors, the administration, to bridge that gap.
The other part of the reentry planning for our distance learning leadership team, which primarily composes of some district office folks as well as our building principals, having done the distance learning platform during this past closure, for the reopening, we are looking for some flexible options based on the reentry guidelines we've received. So some things will be done in-house outside of the Dallastown cyber program per se.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Blevins, that's the million-dollar question we're tackling right now. I think we've done a tremendous job, and it's just enhanced based on the work of Dr. Bumstead, Dr. Heffler. Tremendous job when you have a standalone cyber. But the challenge we're up against is how do we will have students in the upcoming year, beginning of school, we're back to school as normal, quote unquote normal, that will be coming and going. And how do we mesh that? So that's the point. I know we'll have further discussion as a board, but that's really what we're getting our head around now. So it's a seamless, and I agree with what he said. There's no reason why a family should be looking anywhere outside of Dallas Town. And I think more importantly, that's our commitment after all this COVID, as we learn lessons from this, that's a key takeaway for us, that we need to become an organization 24/7 anytime and offering quality instruction.
And Mr. Blevins, that is happening. I mean, this week alone, I've fielded 3 phone calls of families that are interested. They reached out to me thanks to the work of our counselors at the building levels. And they said, hey, I'm just a little nervous about returning if we do reopen in the fall. The uncertainties, what can you tell me? Thankfully, and I don't know if it was my salesmanship, but they left all of them saying, hey, we're on board, we want DASD cyber. So, you know, that's what we're talking about.
Not yet.
So I really have 2 things. The first is, I know schools aren't really used to marketing themselves, but I've been home hanging out for 3 months now, and there's advertisements on the TV all the time for cyber and charter schools. So is there an effort, or have you talked about how you're going to get the word out and quote unquote market this to the Dallas Town population?
Absolutely. And I think now the environment is ripe to be able to aggressively market. I'm going to be working closely with Nicole Montgomery. I believe there's a flyer that's attached in your materials. That's just one example, but we are going to be reaching out, letting people in our community know, hey, this is an available, I think, superior product, and just making them aware. With at the same time, and I assured my colleagues, without supplanting our traditional programming, because that's not what this is about. This is about providing alternative options for families so that we can keep them in the fold and they can easily blend back in when they are ready.
Yeah, so that's kind of my second point is I think it's important to point out that this is different than the distance learning that all the regular students just went through.
Yes.
You know, you had to quickly change literally overnight the way teachers taught. And we just need to be clear in the quote unquote marketing that this is not that.
No. And to the credit of our teachers, they did a tremendous job of building, as Dr. Heffler says, building the plane while it was in the air. This, the Edgenuity product, the Odysseyware product that our teachers at secondary level facilitate, that Edgenuity teachers will facilitate at the K-6 level, it's a complete comprehensive program, very well designed, very well engineered.
Right. I mean, no disrespect to those teachers. I mean, they did build the
program. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So they're all really anxious to get back in the classroom.
And this is designed specifically for students
yes.
who need the cyber learning for whatever reason it meets their needs. Again, it's about meeting students' needs.
Yeah, so great.
Providing a broad continuum.
I'm excited about it. Thank you.
I definitely am.
So do you know how the staffing, I guess until you know how many people leave regular class and come to this or come from outside or back. How do you have the...
Right now, I feel that we're adequately staffed at the secondary level unless, you know, and that's where I'm going to be monitoring closely Dr. Heffler, looking to see how we might be able to shift resources. I don't think, let's say we get a large wave of students that move over in a particular subject area. I don't think it's going to require an entirely new teacher, but it perhaps using parts of teachers here at the secondary level to help support that. At the Edgenuity level, at the K-6 level, they're well suited to support. So,
well, it's part of the great unknown when we're looking at reopening. What is the new normal? Do you have students that love the flexibility of being home? Do you have parents that love the flexibility of being home with their child? So I think what we're going to have to the next year try to sort out what is the new normal, and that's going to have a direct impact on our staffing model. So if we're in a situation where we're going to start losing families and we want to maintain those families, there may be staffing recommendations just from a cost-saving standpoint that we may have to deploy some staff or shift staff. One of the things that we'll be looking at is surveying our community, trying to get some type of letter of intent from each family. Where do they see themselves fall within the 2020-21 school year with their child, which is going to directly impact what we may even have to be in a situation where we're rescheduling buildings at a time because of the need, because what of the uncertainty. So I do see this is something, my hope and dream as well, once we do make sure that it's implemented appropriately for Dallastown students, this also is an opportunity for us to collaborate with other districts. If we offer it, Outside Cyber's offer it, why can't we offer it to other districts as well who do not have this in place? Why would a district, adjacent district, send a child to outside special education or alternative education program where we could offer that? So that may be something long-term that we also consider, which would impact our staffing model. And space, we're also going to be looking, currently we're housed in a one little area. That may be something we have to explore in the future as well.
Absolutely. And this presentation here does include a reshifting of staff as it was previously to where it will be next year. So there has been some reformulation of that. Just if you look at the numbers chart, there's another attachment that provides you with a summary of some numbers. We have seen an increased demand in need for services rendered, whether it be through our cyber program or through what was previously Strive and now will be Wildcat Compass Academy. We know the need is rising. We are looking ahead saying, well, we need to be ahead of that and make sure that we plan appropriately. So Dr. Bumstead with his committee made some changes and recommendations for the reformulation of that as it stands right now. And then based on next data, we will make those next decisions.
These two platforms support live lessons, and then that they're recorded, that the kids that can't make the live lessons show up whenever and get the information.
Right. The platforms are designed to be asynchronous, meaning it's standalone. It can be done at any time, self-paced, individualized. However, both programs, whether it's with our teachers in the Odysseyware platform or Edgenuity, do have synchronous support sessions. The teachers are very involved. They can utilize Google Meet or Zoom. So they can have those face-to-face interactions with the students in real time.
And if I may, I think Dr. Bumstead, what's going to be important this year, maybe perhaps come back, we can have an update at a later point.
Absolutely.
How things transpire. I think it's going to be very important for us to monitor this closely. I know that he's on it, as well as Dr. Heffer's working closely. But it may be good to... for the sake of time this evening, to have some future conversation.
Absolutely.
In the spring.
Dr. Dahl, just a quick comment, if I might. I'm very encouraged by this, and I appreciate the presentation, and I'm very comfortable with Ms. Montgomery and Dr. Bumstead promoting it to sort of piggyback on what Mrs. Trout said. And I'm very confident there'll be a heavy social media component to that marketing strategy. And I'm sure you guys are already on top of this. In some of the social media I've been on already, this is already a hot topic of conversation. And I would encourage you to have that marketing strategy and plan in effect.
Sooner rather than later.
Sooner rather in all your free time that you have with nothing else going on. But it seems to be a very hot topic of conversation right now in the forums and discussion groups. It'd be a great opportunity to have somebody jump in and say, hey, look, and because it is very encouraging. So I just wanted to add that in. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the entire financial sheet and enrollment sheet with you this evening, but I would encourage you to take a look at that. It is attached for your reference, and it talks a little bit, it gives you some information, tells a story of the enrollment numbers longitudinally, and also the costing out for the different programming and opportunities. I know Dr. Bumstead has been looking at students who are currently not held within the district, whether they be in a private academic location due to previous needs that did not meet AEDY, to see which students might be best served back here at Dallastown to try to bring them back to us, and be very deliberate about that selection. And then also the recruitment and reaching out, the outreach to bring those families who might be outside Cybers, just make them aware of our programming and ask them if they'd like to take the time to explore our program to see if that would meet their needs to become back, come back to be a Wildcat.
If somebody were listening to this from home and was interested in either one of these programs, what would they do tomorrow?
Absolutely. They would call Dr. Bumstead. That's okay. Correct. Email or call Dr. Bumstead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we move, can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
I know we're short on time, but, and I don't know what Dr. Bumstead's plans were if you're going to stay, but I just want to, while we're in this moment, we have high expectations in Dallastown. And it's just amazing. We need to pause and realize that you two have been on this job for months. I just have to appreciate, I'm fired up by your enthusiasm. I love what you're doing to it. It just seems like you're embracing this role.
Absolutely.
And not that you wouldn't, but it just, we don't take time to thank you. And I think it's part of your infancy of 5 months, you realize what talents people have and where to put them. And it just, I'm encouraged. And it's tough times, but it's just neat to see the collaboration and what you're able to put out there already. And I just want to make sure, it was going to be part of my budget discussion, but I wanted to make sure you heard it firsthand because I
thank you
for staying. So thank you.
Excellent job. Good report.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Bumstead.
Okay, let's move on to superintendent's report. Dr. Dahl.
Okay, very good. What I'd like to do this evening is just highlight, certainly be remiss not highlighting our senior class. So to the senior class of 2020, obviously there's no words that can make up for what has been lost or changed. Please know that they're going to certainly be forever remembered just for their strength and tenacity. I had the tremendous opportunity, and Dr. Heffner did as well, and many of our board members to participate in a wide range of activities, specifically 16 hours of individual senior ceremonies. But it was the highlight of my year. And coming out of a COVID-19 isolation chamber, it was a wonderful wonderful way to celebrate our students. So with that said, we've asked, and I give credit to Mrs. Montgomery, our communications coordinator. She put together some highlights we'd like to show. Just take a few minutes just to review some of the opportunities for our senior class.
You're even making me cry.
I hope not.
United together as the Dallastown Area High School class of 2020 to show others that in this darkness that will continue for a while, the light source exists and the light will come once again despite these dark times. Congratulations, class of 2020. May you be remembered more than any other class that has ever graduated before. Live well and in your unprecedented unity, shine bright.
Come on, are you ready? friends and families, faculty, administrators, board of school directors, and seniors, welcome to the commencement ceremony for the class of 2020. Tonight, we celebrate a major milestone in the lives of our graduates. After 4 years of hard work, these students will become proud Dallastown Area High School alumni, ready to begin the next phase of their lives, and we are confident that this phase will be a successful one.
My friends and my family have been with me at my highest of highs and my lowest of lows. None of us would be graduating if it wasn't for the countless number of people who got us here, and all of whom gave us great days when we couldn't make them ourselves. Even if we find ourselves separated by land, sea, or pandemic, we can still make it a great day by finding reasons to persevere, finding ways to be grateful, and finding people to be there for. Because when we do that, there will always be something great to fight for. There will always be something to be grateful for, and there will always be people there for you to make your days great. Thank you.
Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming, cause you'll reach up and rise again. Lift your head and look around, you will be found.
As I think about our class, I know there are many things to be accomplished and spectacular things for us to experience. That being said, I ask my classmates to strive to be happy and sure of yourselves, so all of us may have the privilege of witnessing your lives unfold wonderfully and with grace. Class of 2020, do not wait for good times to come, but instead make the most out of the day in front of you. Rather than dwelling on what isn't, be grateful for what is. In other words, make it a great day or not, the choice is always yours.
Advisors, it was just a tremendous effort, a tremendous experience. Certainly to the class of 2020, we wish you well as you embark on this next exciting phase of your journey. The next phase of my report, just want to briefly touch base on looking ahead for the 2021 school year. Last week, the Pennsylvania Department of Education did release guidelines indicating that we can resume in-person school as of July 1st, 2020. Dallastown Area School District is diligently working to develop a plan in the coming weeks, and we will outline the various learning opportunities and scenarios for the fall. We will be distributing a parent survey in the very near future to solicit some community student staff feedback on this critical work. So I certainly encourage our members of our community to please continue to check your email regularly. Additionally, it's our hope to finalize and seek board approval of our plan of an approach for next year during our July board meeting. So with that said, there's some additional information regarding student enrollment that was reviewed during our LPS presentation. And I thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Any Questions for Dr. Dahl? Okay, let's move on to our consent items. I would remind you that the customary personnel report is not a part of the consent items tonight. That will be a separate action item 8C. So I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent items.
To approve the consent items as presented.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the consent items? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Wetzel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevin?
Yes. Okay, the consent items are approved, and now we move to our action items, the first of which being the adoption of our final budget and related resolutions. And I'd like to make a few comments and observations before I turn it over to Dr. Dahl and Mr. Rohrbaugh. I've been through a lot of budgets since coming on to the board some 10, 11 years ago. And this has been the most difficult by far. This has been the most painful by far. It has required sacrifice. It has required creativity, a willingness to be flexible, and a willingness to compromise. And I'd like to thank Mr. Rohrbaugh and his business office for the multiple iterations of the budget and the multiple crosswalks and bridges and all the crazy things we asked for along the way, and your patience and expertise in doing that. Dr. Dahl, for your leadership and creativity by taking the bull by the horns here and getting us through this process. And certainly the senior leadership team has played a key role. The administrators throughout the district have been very involved. The teachers, I would like to thank them as well for their flexibility and willingness to cooperate with the many changes that this budget results in, and of course the support staff. You know, I've said it often, but I remain very proud of the staff here at Dallas Town. I would put them up against any group of educators, anytime, anywhere. And my pride, if anything, is higher than it's ever been. So I just wanted to make that point as we move forward. I'd like to thank Mr. Hartman and his finance committee and the entire board for your diligence, your empathy, your courage to advocate for positions about which you feel very strongly. I would be remiss if I didn't express my appreciation, having served on and chaired many boards over the years. This is a special board, okay? And I'm very, very impressed by the integrity that you all bring to this process, and I'm proud to have been your leader throughout this process. I would like to take a few minutes to share my perspective on a few things. First of all, just to remind us all of the rationale behind the 1-2-3 process. There's so many things have happened and evolved so quickly. I think it's healthy to go back and just refresh our memories that even before COVID was in our vocabulary, we knew that we had a serious budget issue for the 2021 year. And we were looking at a very significant deficit. Okay. And then COVID came along and complicated the whole thing. So what we did was backed up and said, okay, let's take a three-step process to this. First of all, let's go back to where we were before COVID arose. Okay, and let's try to balance the budget using the assumptions that existed at the time, okay, without a tax increase, and without a significant utilization of fund balance. Okay. And that was a tall order. And that's where, you know, the pain that we are experiencing, I just wanted to clarify this tonight, is not the result of COVID. I mean, COVID's made things awful, but the pain with the not replacing the retirees and all that stuff, we would have been facing that without COVID. Okay. And I just wanted to say that you know, step one was fixing that. Then Mr. Rurball factored into the best of his ability the impacts of COVID. And yeah, no one can do that with certainty, but he did a good job of trying to estimate the impacts on revenues as well as the impacts on expenses as a result of COVID. And that created, you know, step one got us to, based on us, you know, assumptions that existed at the time, got us very close to a break even. Since that time, a couple of the assumptions have changed, most notably the medical insurance. We've added additional funds to that. So we didn't quite get there if you factor that in. Okay, but we made a huge dent in it. Okay. And then when we factor in the impacts of COVID, then we had to decide, okay, knowing what that is, what's our strategy? Okay. And in order, I think the strategy that we used was to look at the current fiscal year, that is the 1920 fiscal year, and the unexpected deficit because schools were closed and expenses reduced, okay? Look at that as being joined at the hip with the deficit that's been created in the 2021 budget. Okay. And those two, not entirely, but pretty closely offset each other. Okay. So that it's easy to look at those separately, but in my thinking, I look at them as joined at the hip, and the way we're going to fund the deficit that's in our budget for 2021 is to utilize the unexpected surplus that evolved out of 1920. So that's just my perspective on that. But much uncertainty remains. There's extra expense that, as Dr. Dahl and his team dig into the reopening plans, okay, there's expenses that we haven't even contemplated. Okay. There's uncertainty relative to revenues. And some bad uncertainty, some potentially good things, okay, from stimulus funds and other things that aren't part of this budget, okay. But we may very well have to, you know, a few months down the road, have to take another look at this budget, okay, and reopen the budget. And the passage of the budget tonight, I don't view that as an end. The only thing that can't change after tonight is our tax rate. Okay. Moving forward, we can and should, and I feel confident we'll have to take another look at this budget. So there is a lot of remaining uncertainty. But one thing that I am certain about is that we have a structural issue in this district that is not cured by this budget. Okay. I did some analysis using the latest iteration of the budget book, okay, that clearly demonstrates that the fundamental challenges that we have will continue to have in future budgets unless we do something. Our payroll and benefits as a percentage of the total budget is, according to budget book, is it 3, 4? Okay, is right at 73%. And that's a lot higher than most school districts. I did some 10, you know, a lot of the analysis in the budget book is a 10-year look back. Okay, so using that, you know, our student population over the 10 years, the, preceding 10 years has grown in total over the course of those 10 years, 6.9%, which is about 0.7% per year on average, okay? During that 10-year period, our growth in payroll costs has been $4.5 million. And that's in spite of outsourcing the substitute to STS and some other changes. Okay, I think that the real increase in ongoing recurring salaries has been more than that. Okay, the 10-year growth in benefit costs has been $16.5 million over the quarter. That's a 210% increase over the last 10 years. Now that includes PEASRs, okay, which no one in this room or on this, on Zoom tonight, unless our state legislators are online with us, have any control over whatsoever. Okay, the only way we can control PEASRs costs is to control payroll costs, because PEASRs is a percentage of payroll as dictated by the state. We don't get any say in that. And the second biggest component of that is our medical insurance. Okay? And that we do have some ability to impact. So over the last 10 years, our growth in revenue has been $22.5 million, with only two very minor tax increases during that period. The 10-year growth, so our additional revenue was 22.5. Our 10-year growth in payroll and benefits has been $21 million. Okay, so that only leaves us with, over a 10-year period, $1.5 million to be applied to the increased cost of everything else. Now think back 10 years. What hasn't gone up dramatically over the course of the last 10 years? It's hard to name very many things, okay? So what has suffered? Well, we've had a deferral of maintenance that we need. We've had facilities improvements that we've been unable to make. The arts have suffered. The program expansions have suffered. Athletics have suffered. The list goes on and on and on, okay? And until all of the impacted groups join arms and figure out how we're going to contain payroll and benefit costs, the budgets are not going to get easier, they're going to get harder. That said, I'm confident in our ability to do just that. So those are my thoughts that I wanted to share up front. I'll turn it over to Dr. Dahl and Mr. Lurball to present their final budget.
Thank you, and that was a wonderful analysis, Mr. Blevins. Clearly, we've spent a lot of time conversation deliberating regarding this budget. Plainly put, it's a difficult budget. It's a painful budget for our organization. We are certainly looking downsizing our workforce in order to combat a lot of uncertainty and unknown. So with that said, I would echo the similar comments of thanks to certainly Mr. Robot and his team, our administrative team, senior staff, and certainly the board for a lot of the courageous conversations we have had to have in trying to find what is the right size budget for our district. So with that said, I certainly stand by the budget that's being recommended this evening. I don't necessarily care for the budget, but I think it is the best option for where we are and our new harsh fiscal reality that we're going to be facing in the upcoming years. And I'd like for Mr. Rohrbaugh just to provide a higher level overview before we turn over to Mr. Hartman and seek approval for the budget.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. And again, thank you to everyone, because again, no budget is just a business office function. It is a full district budget related to not only Dr. Dahl, the board, senior staff, but the administration, the teachers, the department chairs. There's a lot of input that goes into a budget. So again, I commend everybody for their help on that. Tonight's final budget has been unique because of factors that have changed and because of COVID-19. The budget has reductions to programs and personnel. Expenses are approximately $111.9 million, and revenue $109.1 million. This will result in utilization of $2.8 million in fund balance usage. Some of the savings from COVID-19 and the 1920 budget will be used to offset the fund balance usage. The district has estimated a loss of revenue in 2021 in the amount of $2.2 million. The budget has eliminated the senior citizens tax rebate program, reduced department program budgets, does not fill 8 professional positions, an elementary assistant principal position that was included in earlier budget versions. The budget also includes a salary freeze for the upcoming year for the support staff and the administrative team. Overall, these reductions result in a savings of approximately $2 million. The final budget maintains a zero tax increase on the community in these difficult times. Although we've been able to keep real estate taxes flat in the last 3 years, we will need to thoroughly discuss it for the upcoming 21-22 budget. Even a tax increase for 2021-22 may not keep the district from having to reduce personnel or programs again as we continue to strive to keep Dallastown as a premier district. We must also look to continue and look forward to our financial philosophy to maintain our buildings and ever-growing list of capital projects. In closing, the upcoming year will be difficult as we deal with the unknown in both the education we must provide and the financial burden to keep our staff and students safe and healthy. Thank you, Mr. Blevins and Dr. Dolan. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Barney.
Thank you, Mr. Warbaugh. And just a few brief comments. This has been a very difficult budget season, as we all know, and we've spent many, many hours discussing the budget, so I'm not going to drag it on too far tonight, but I agree with all the points that Mr. Blevins said, and he said it very well. It is painful, but my opinion, it has to be this way. We don't want to make the cuts in this budget, but numbers are stubborn and we simply can't afford some of these things. I talked previously about a board that can provide people, places, and things. And I don't like to see the position cuts, but there just isn't enough money in the places and things columns anymore. I want to thank the administration for approaching this with realism and figuring out how to make it work. That includes senior staff, of course, Mr. Warbaugh and his team, again, for the constant questions that we all pepper him with throughout the season here. I appreciate the work of the principals to be flexible and in some ways even finding opportunities to make this bad situation find ways we can improve. I know there are teachers being asked to change positions. Believe me when I say I truly understand what it's like for a teacher to move around to fill a hole. This is an unusual situation, Dallastown. This is my 7th budget and the first one that did not add people. This financial situation didn't just start this year. Anybody that's been paying attention knows that this board has talked about healthcare increases, PSERS increases, exponential rising special ed costs, the unfair funding formula, and I did say that correctly, unfair funding formula, for many years now. Since the lockdowns began, I've noticed our virtual attendance at board meetings has soared. I'm looking up, there's 80-some participants up there right now. I would respectfully ask this new audience 2 things. First, please stay engaged. We need engaged community members to understand the issues facing public education. Secondly, consider contacting your state representatives. There are powerful forces in Harrisburg that do not have Dallastown's best interest at heart. The voice of this community needs to be heard beyond these walls, virtually or in reality. With that, I would like to make a motion to adopt or make a motion to approve action item 8A, the adoption of the 2020-2021 final budget to include resolution number 2020-3 and 2020-4.
Thank you, Mr. Harbin. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Yeah. A second. Okay. Now we'll open it up for board discussion and comment and deliberation.
I'll comment. I would like to echo everyone's thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Thank you, Mr. Rohrbaugh. Thank you to everybody who had a hand in this. I mean, I know that this is not fun for any of you who are going to vote yes. It's horrible all around. I'd also like to thank all the people who may be listening out there. We've gotten loads of letters, phone calls, passing people from a distance. You know, there's been a lot of people who have really paid attention this go round and really cared. And I know there's a feeling that it was all for nothing and we had the decision made way back when. And I want to assure everybody that's really not the case. We really do read all those letters. We really do carefully consider. We stay up, we cry. I'm not sure we bleed. In some cases, maybe we do, but we have really thought a lot and hard about this. And I, even though the vote may go the way it goes tonight, I want all of you to continue to do that and rest assured that we do really pay attention to the notes that you write and the phone calls you make. I recognize tonight that I do have the option to propose an amendment. However, I've spoken to all of my fellow board members and Dr. Dahl individually multiple times, and unfortunately, I don't believe that the support is here tonight. So I'm not going to put us through the exercise of proposing an amendment. But rest assured, I will be continuing to advocate for Dallastown music at all levels from elementary to high school. And I hope the day comes soon where we can begin to rebuild that department again. I'm passionate about it. I really believe in it. And I care a lot about it. But for today, and for the reasons that I've been discussing publicly since at least April, probably even before, I am going to vote no on the budget tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Trout. Any other comments from the board?
Yes, Mr. Blevins.
Yes, Mr. Pantana.
I realize to those of you who are listening in that it's going to be broken record time. I'll keep my comments as brief as I can. You've all heard this from me before. It's nothing new. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Blevins. I agree 100% with your pre-motion comments across the board, and I thank you for your diligence in putting the step 1, 2, 3 plan together. And it's gotten us a very long way to where we were. So thank you for that. I also want to thank those who put a lot of time and effort into putting this budget together. Dr. Dahl, Dr. Heffler, Mr. Rohrbaugh, the whole business team, Mr. Fisher, the whole administration team, all the way down. This is not the budget I had hoped for Dr. Dahl's first year as superintendent. And I apologize to you on, not that it was my fault, but it's not what I had hoped for your first budget go around. This budget will pass tonight, although not unanimously. And that's the way it's supposed to work, and that's okay. I have not worked with a more dedicated board, and I've been on at least a dozen boards over my tenure. And I agree with another thing that Mr. Blevins said. I have not worked with a more dedicated board. And while we don't always agree on everything, we have civil discussion and we can discuss and debate, vote and move on. I respect the rights of all board members to vote their conscience and to vote their opinions, just as I know that they respect my right to vote my conscience as well. The 1920 school year was shaping up to be awful, a real financial problem. And that is until the deferred spending of the COVID pandemic. No one likes to look at that and suggest that there was a benefit that came out of it, but that deferred spending did help us out this year. But much of it is deferred spending, not savings. And I would hope that we would stop calling it savings because I fear that most of it will get spent in the first part of the year. I feel like we had the perfect opportunity to take a deeper dive into this budget and to determine how we could move forward more strategically with all of the challenges that are not this year and next year, but beyond. This budget doesn't go far enough. I agree with another thing Mr. Blevins said, and that was, I fear that in a few months we're gonna be looking at this budget again and reopening it. Earned income tax will fall. I fear that revenue is under projected. Expenses are likely budgeted too low. And I applaud the efforts to add another $500,000 in healthcare, but I still fear that we're $500,000 to $600,000 too short on that. Oh, and then there's this. We saw this earlier tonight. Feasibility study. This represents tens of millions of dollars in spending that we need just to keep our infrastructure going the way it should. Taxing isn't enough to help us. And on top of that, taxing only hurts our most vulnerable at a time when they simply can't afford it.
You know, we have no idea what back to school is going to look like. And I don't mean to be emotional about numbers. I usually can separate myself very well from that. But there's going to be terms of cost in unfunded mandates that come out of Harrisburg for back to school. And Mr. Hartman is right. Contact your representatives in Harrisburg. Tell them that they can't sit in an office and dictate how school is going to look without taking into account the fact that we have to spend the dollars to do it, and they have no intention of giving us more money to make it happen. And so we'll use fund balance to balance this year's budget, and doing so will take us under the 8%, and that'll create issues if we want to borrow in the future. And we have no plan to replace that fund balance, and we have no plan to grow capital spending, and we have no plan to address the future increases in expenses. And I hate to say it this way, but it almost feels to me a little bit like the $111 million equivalent of living paycheck to paycheck. We got through this year, we'll worry about next year, next year. I said it last time, I'll say it one more time. I want to be wrong. I desperately hope I am wrong in my convictions towards this budget. I don't think I am. And for that reason, I have to maintain my same vote as I did with the preliminary budget and vote no tonight. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for listening to my comments. And I thank you all my board fellow board members for your hard work as well. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I'll jump in because it kind of dovetails with where Tony stopped. I think the task at hand tonight is the budget, and it's the next set in time. I think we quickly have to move on to Tony's point, moving away from paycheck to paycheck and formulate a long-range plan. I mean, so, but I'm going to support this budget and hold my nose a little bit, but I'm on the other side. And I first got to apologize, too, because there's not a lot of continuity meeting to meeting. I think I've been pretty consistent in my approach all along the way, to be upper level, to be more guidance and directing. So I am going to repeat myself a little bit. I got to reiterate the fact that I think this budget, on a guy who's been in our office 5.5 months with a new team, was a freaking home run. I think you heard our parameters to not increase the taxes and somehow find a balanced budget in a difficult time pre-COVID and facing the deficits that we were facing. And I think you were incredibly strategic with your team to look at all the programs, make sure that there was a fair and balanced address to what the costs were, what your programs were. You took some politically unpopular stances, but you assured us, and I'm trusting you, I'm using that word a lot tonight, trust, that it's fair and to everyone and that there's equal pain, and that you are, with you being part of our culture for so long, you know where all the warts are, and you're pointing out what needs to be done, and you're taking advantage of what slim pickings there might be. So I trust you on that. You've identified the programs. I'm incredibly appreciative to the approach that you've looked at personnel and just didn't look at a one-to-one replacement and just backfill everything that you've shown a lot of creativity and imagination with everything else that's on your plate. But I got to voice my concern over the assistant principal being reduced. Again, to be consistent, I said that I would support whatever you thought you could work with. I am confident that we're doing way too much line item expense dollars, that I think, yes, it would increase the budget by another personnel and the benefits, but I'm confident that there would have been other savings or improvements to environment that we could have made that work somehow. But hearing all of the other pressures and all of the uncertainties, I'm also worried about the sustainability of that new position. I don't want to bring somebody in similar to the programs. If a program is destined to be removed, rip the Band-Aid off and let's get it done. Similarly, I don't want to bring somebody in if it is this dire and we still are in such a gray area with restarting, reopening, and not knowing what all of our financial pressures are. I'm willing to reduce that, but I'm really concerned about the impact it's going to have for our staff. We just keep asking them to do more and more. I'm really concerned about the cultivation of new talent. I appreciate, we knew this was a budget that we knew an inside guy would give us. So if we had done an outside hire, there would have been a honeymoon period, there would have been a get a lay of the land, and we would have, this budget would have been that person's next year's budget. You ripped it off now because you grew up and you knew us, but that's also, you knew all of the other pressures and you still recommended the personnel. That's why I have a really hard time giving this up. Similar to Hillary, I thought about an amendment, but I didn't think there would even be much traction. But I just wanted to make sure, we knew you were a collaborative person. We see what you've done. I alluded to how you've grown some of your staff already and you're amending your approach to CyberStrive. We saw what a collaboration did for graduation. I'm trying to be aware we shouldn't be micromanaging you. We shouldn't control you. We need to work with you and try to give you the latitude and have trust until you lose it. I've used that before. So that's really why I wanted to support where you were at. But I just think there's just, but I also just didn't want to just say no now. I wanted to have this conversation at least, just because I wanted you and your team to know we were thinking about it. And I'm comforted to hear Mr. Blevins's approach. It kind of dovetails with the conversation from Finance Monday, that we need to monitor this budget as we go forward. And if opportunity presents itself and we reopen things, I didn't want this to be a tracking thing that you, we can't revisit till next year, just because it's important to us. But I don't think we're there for an amendment, but I also just didn't want it to just maybe say a yes vote and not at least raise my hand to say we support you. Because I think at some point the rest of us, because it didn't get traction, we need, and I'm grateful that we're doing this face-to-face and not Zoom, because we need to start having better dialogue. And we have to understand why the board members who weren't supporting it or looking for the cuts, why that was. Was it because they don't support the position or don't see the need? Do they think the optics were bad? Do they think there were other priorities? We never really had that debate. So I'm willing to yield and approve this as it is. But I don't want it to die, because the reality is we know there are not talent pools out there. That even if we gave you the green light, it's going to be an 18-month process. You know, if we don't give you some latitude now, I thought about a contingency to just have it as a reserve, so that 6-8 months from now, if things look better, at least you had the latitude to test the waters to see what could be out there from a talent pool to bring them in. I think with Mr. Blevins's opportunity of maybe reopening that, it isn't going to be a 21-22 issue. And I just want to make sure it doesn't die. But long said, but I hope I conveyed where I'm at. And I hope to at least give my other board members a chance to think about it and see the appropriateness of it at some point. Thank you. Thank you.
Good comments. Thank you. Any other comments?
The only thing I would like to add is I don't think it's going to take an amendment in anything. I mean, the decisions that we're making have real live consequences. And I think the federal government and the state require us that we have to have all kinds of data. So like when we make these decisions, you recommended it, but the bottom line is we're doing the vote. So like on the reading or whatever other positions you that we agreed to eliminate possibly, could we do like 3 years prior to this, 3 years or whatever. I'm not a data expert, but we definitely would have data showing positions we eliminated and the effect it has had on the student population. I don't think it needs anything official, because it might be some work for you, but somebody knows what they're doing, just punching the keys should be able to come up with. And at least then we know that what our vote tonight down the road, what effect it has had. And then that would give us a better idea. Hey, here's the priorities. This is a decision we made. We had to make it. But better times, or even if it's not better, hey, this is detrimental to the kids. Hopefully that's not asking too much. But other than that, I'm going to be a yes vote. I agree. You know, everybody has their own opinions. I like being here in person. I'm really tired of Zoom meetings.
Yeah, so me too.
That's the only thing I'd have to add.
Mrs. Houston or Mr. Wingard, any comments?
Go ahead, Sue.
I'll make mine real quick. I do want to say I appreciate all the passion that was shown by the students, the parents, the staff, through the emails that everyone sent us regarding the music position and the reading specialist. But I also understand the great need for the additional assistant principal in the elementary level. I truly understand that need there too. But there are still so many unknowns with the upcoming year. And I've been saying this every time we talk about the budget. And I believe we need to have the flexibility the budget allows as it is without the positions being included. And I do agree with Mr. Blevins that I think it's something we're gonna have to reopen in a few months, whether it be for the positive or for the negative, we don't know at this point. But because of that, I will be supporting the budget as is tonight. And again, with the understanding that we may have to be reopening this in a few months. That's it. And again, thank you everyone. I don't wanna go over all the things, but I agree with everyone that's spoke before and all the thanks and the work that went into this budget.
Thank you, Mrs. Easton.
I'm in total agreement and supportive of Mr. Blevins' opening remarks to this. And I totally agree with Tony that I do fear that we are kicking the can down the road. And I agree also with Bill Lytle. I think we need to have faith. And I do have faith in Dr. Dahl. But I have deep concerns about an awful lot, and I hope that we can find a way to be proactive, and hopefully we can very shortly start to revisit maybe alternative ways to take care of some of these programs and shortcomings, from volunteerism to sponsorships to other creative approaches that I hope that these aren't just lost. I hope that this will cause us to maybe think deeper, come up with other ideas that maybe we can address these programs down the road. And I too would like to thank everybody who's written to us and shared their comments and thoughts. I will be supporting the budget, but with deep reservations. Thank you.
Any final comments, Mr. Hartman, as chair of the Finance Committee?
After the vote.
Huh?
After the vote.
After the vote?
Yes.
Okay, well then, let's vote. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Easton?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
No.
Mrs. Trout?
No.
Mr. Wingard? Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, the budget is approved. Thank you all very much. Now, Mr. Hart.
Thank you. thank you for allowing me to have a look. I'm Mr. Blevins. There was one group of people in my previous comments I didn't thank, and that is this board of directors. And I want to sincerely thank the board of directors here. No one could have predicted that we would be discussing a budget over Zoom platform instead of face-to-face. The good thing about Zoom is that the public had a chance to see their board work. As I mentioned, there's a lot more people tuning in than ever did. I don't think we can fit 80 people in the theater room. We have that online now. So that's a good thing about Zoom. And I hope they're proud of you as I am. You've put in countless hours of meetings and phone calls and conversations with each other, administrators, members of the public, staff, and anyone else who you thought might give you a nugget of information to help with your decision. You've received and read hundreds of emails and listened to public comments, and that goes with the job. This budget was an agonizing process, and anyone watching could see that. There was literal sweat and tears at some meetings. Thankfully, no blood that I'm aware of, as Ms. Trout points out, while working on this budget. It is unfortunate that you had to endure some controversial comments, knowing that the proper rules of discourse prevented you from responding. There are signs and posters all over this district about the Dallastown Cares program. And last year we had a presentation and some of us got t-shirts. I see many people proudly wearing it around the district. In fact, I can see a sign in the cafeteria right now that says Dallastown Cares. And the CARES program, of course, is an acronym. And that acronym is compassionate, accountable, respectful, ethical, and service-oriented board. And I appreciate you all holding these standards and providing an example to the community. It's a pleasure to serve with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Okay, let's move on to the next action item, which is an update on the proposed fund balance designations. It's a turn it over to Mr. Rohrbaugh, but just a temporary designation, which will be replaced by one once the books are closed.
Correct. So tonight you're approving the fund balance designations as talked about at Monday night's Finance Committee meeting. It does reflect the potential savings from 1920. So with that, I ask for approval of the fund balance designations.
As discussed at the finance meeting, I move to approve action item 8B, the update of the 2019-2020 proposed fund balance designations.
I'll second it.
We have a set motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of approval of the proposed fund balance designations indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Okay, that action item is approved. And now we'll move on to the personnel report. Mr. Fisher, are there any late-breaking changes that the board should be aware of?
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. There are a few. We did add a middle school assistant principal, new hire, Alyssa Caldwriter, to begin on July 1st, 2020. We added one FMLA request by a secondary teacher, and we've added two changes of status. Mr. Brian Smith went from assistant principal at Oar Valley in York Township to an assistant principal at Oar Valley full-time. And Dr. Barb Taroso, moving from assistant principal at the middle school to the assistant principal at Loganville Springfield in York Township.
Can I make a quick comment?
Please.
I just want to make it clear that by late breaking, it doesn't mean that we're just hearing about it now. We have heard about it earlier, I don't know, in the day or a couple days ago. So
yeah.
I just want to make that clarification.
Thank you for that clarification.
Some of those are pretty important. I don't want people to think that we're just now learning about it. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point. Any questions for Mr. Fisher? Okay, we'll entertain a motion for approval of the personnel report.
I move to approve action item 8.C as presented.
A second.
A motion and a second. Your comment?
I just have a very brief comment, Mr. Blevins.
Please.
I voted no on the budget, and it still passed, and that's how democracy works. And now my role as a board member is to support that budget going forward. And so I'm going to vote yes on the personnel report tonight, and some may look at that as a contradictory move to the budget vote, but I'm voting yes on the personnel report because many of these changes in the personnel change of status were those recommended by Dr. Dahl to support his budget. And so I'm going to get behind that, and I'm going to get behind him at this point.
Great.
And I'm going to vote yes on that. And I just wanted to make that comment so that people didn't think it was a contradictory move and that there was rationale for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pantan. Any other questions, comments, or questions? Okay. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevin?
Yes. Okay, action item 8C is approved. Let's move on to the adoption of Resolution 2020-05. Mr. Fisher.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'll be brief on this. We're seeking your approval tonight on the attached resolution to issue a statement of charges in a personnel matter that we discussed earlier in executive session.
Any questions about that? Entertain a motion for approval.
To approve action item 8D, adoption resolution 2020-5.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of adoption of the resolution 2020-05, excuse me, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Approval has been given. Moving on to 1-year extension. adoption of Act 93 Administrative Compensation Plan. Mrs. Heaston and Mr. Fisher.
I'll take it, Sue. As previously communicated in our May HR committee meetings, the Act 93 group has graciously agreed to a one-year extension of the Act 93 Administrative Compensation Plan. What that really means is no changes to the provisions of the plan, with the exception of the effective dates, and no pay increase for this year. So we appreciate all that they do, and we appreciate their willingness to work with us.
And if I may also jump in, I just want to personally thank our members of our Act 93 for, I know we're hitting a very difficult time financially. This was a group that on their own came to us and willingly gave a freeze. So just on behalf of, for me, I greatly appreciate their work.
Motion for approval.
I move to approve action item 8E, the one-year extension for the Act 93 compensation plan.
Second?
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of adoption of action item 8E, which is the extension for 1 year of the Act 93 compensation plan, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, the Act 93 plan extension is approved. Bank depositories, Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached is a list of the bank depositories for the 2020-21 school year. Again, this was discussed as an information item last month, so tonight we're seeking approval.
Okay, thank you. Motion to approve.
I move to approve action item 8F, the bank depositories for the 2020-2021 school year.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of approval of action item 8F, the bank depositories, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Okay, we have approval of 8F. Now we move to the food service contract for 2021, and Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached is a contract, the renewal contract for Chartwell's. This was discussed at the May board meeting also as an information item, so tonight we're seeking approval. Just for note of the board, next year for 21-22, we will be going out for bid. It is required by law, so just something to keep on the radar, I would say. Through this whole COVID-19, I can't say enough about what Chartwell's has done for our students and our community and the meals and the prep work that go in every day. So, they've been an integral part of the Dallastown family over the last number of years, and we're hopeful that continues after this year. So.
I fully concur. They have been exceptional, just exceptional.
Entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve action item 8G, the food service contract.
I'll second it.
Don't you miss this.
I can do this all night.
Bill and I'll just keep rotating on seconds.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 8G, the food service contract, Chartwell's, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. 8G is approved, and we'll move on to approval of the 2020-2021 parent-student handbook and the Wildcat Compass Academies. Dr. Heffler.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. What you will find attached are four handbooks that have been developed in alignment with the redesign of the Dallastown Area Cyber and what was previously Strive and is now the Wildcat Compass Academy, presented by Dr. Bumstead here on behalf of his entire team. If you have any questions, he's present to answer any of those for you. Thank you.
Any questions for Mrs. Heffer, Dr. Bumstead? Okay.
I'm going to approve action item 8H, the parent-student handbooks.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor of approval of action item H indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay. We have approval of that action item. Now we move to the formation of cross-country booster club. Dr. Dahl.
Back in May, we had Dr. Fletcher present the formation of the club. Tonight we seek your approval to be started in the school year.
May Commission approve action item 8I, the cross-country booster club.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 8I, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed, no. We have approval of the booster club. Final, thankfully, action item for the evening is the proposal and rationale for the PSBA legislation. Platform, Mr. Pencil.
They give us this opportunity or a chance to add or take away from something on the agenda for the. And the only thing that I found that was a little maybe interesting to you, under the curriculum and instruction policy, and then it says school boards calling the state to, and I said additional new first bullet point. Just because of all the COVID stuff, I just said, I didn't get too political or anything, just kept it simple. Allow school districts to remain open and continue instruction during an emergency declaration. What ended up happening when they said schools were closed? The kids didn't have to show up if they didn't want it to. They didn't have to do their homework. Half the parents, or not half, many of the parents were contacted. Well, they said schools were closed. They should have said in-person education went to distance. Then, you know, you could have gone straight into learning and now granted we're at a better position now. That might have had something to do with it, but it's still, they still should have jumped right in. No in-person, but distant learning day one. Then you want to got these dates. Hey, in April, we're going to open up. May, we're going to open up. In the fall, we think we can open up. And it was just crazy. So if you agree with it, nothing really happens. It goes to a committee. They'll probably look at it and say yes or no or no or whatever. And then they let us know what they think. So make a long night short. I'll make a recommendation to action item J, the tentative proposal for the PSFBA legislative platform.
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Benson? All those in favor of approval of action item 8J indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. That is approved, and that ends our action items for this evening, and now we'll quickly move through the information items, starting with Loganville Springfield construction update. Dr. Dahl and Mr. Rurball.
Thank you. We continue to be pleased with the progress of the building project. Just so you're aware, as we enter the summer months, Mr. Rurball will be the one providing the updates. I'd like to turn it over to him for the June executive summary.
Yep, thank you, Dr. Dahl. Attached is the summary from Mr. Kendall from Abacus Construction to kind of give you just a brief overview. I'll just kind of jump through the pictures here after a couple comments. And one thing I will say is currently we're on schedule for phase 3 and 3A. We have been fortunate because of COVID-19 that we got an early jump on phase 3A, which was the corridor from basically the main hallway back to about the music room. That allowed the contractors to get in and do the necessary plumbing work and a lot of
saw cutting into the current foundation and cement that was in there. Dr. Kessler was with me the other week, and we were kind of walking back through and jumping through all those different cuts. So it was very impressive, the work that had been done. We've also been fortunate from the COVID outbreak that they were able to discover the fact that there was some asbestos that was in the mastic that had the glue to the tiles in the gym. We've been able to remove that in a timely fashion, which was very pertinent, because had we waited till the summer, we could have got delayed on that part. So just to kind of give you a brief overview here of the summary real quick. The very cover page is the photos of the front of the building, which used to be the old cafeteria. It will be classrooms. So you can see there that they are bricked in. If you go down to the next set of pictures here, on page four, that was originally what the brickwork was supposed to be up front. It was supposed to have kind of that beige color underneath the windows, and it was determined, you know, it would look a whole lot better being brick. So we added that in, and that'll come as a change order, but just something to keep note of. The next picture is just where the front planter will be in front of the school. To the left side there, that's where the sidewalk would be for bus drop-off. Next photo just gives you a bird's eye view from the roof and part of the daylight corridor that's been created there to allow natural light into the corridors. So just to give you an idea of what that looks like. I talked about some of the plumbing, and you can see that here in the next photo. Actually, the next two photos, the first one's with the cuts and the pipe laid in, and then with the cement back on top. And then the last photo just shows you an access ladder into the mezzanine where one of the HVAC units is located. So that's located basically where the old boiler room was. It's located up there on a mezzanine level. So any questions about the report?
One thing I do miss, I appreciate the work. We're doing a lot of the biweekly updates virtually. I miss the normal walk around afterwards. We did get in there before. It was also a good reason for them to clean up the site, which was also good. If I could ask, if we're going to stay virtual bi-weekly, maybe could I have asked for a couple dates to maybe be established where, because I don't want to ask Dr. Kessler. I don't want to ask Dr. Kessler for a private tour, but maybe if we could set up a couple interim steps.
Yeah, we certainly can. I know Hillary asked the same thing. I still have that on the list. What we're waiting for is to go green. That's for Good Friday. So we will get some type of calendar in place for this.
I'm curious, but I don't want to be a burden. You know what I mean? So that would be great.
15
Thank
minutes.
You.
2 hours and 15 minutes. Don't
worry. You take a tour in a little couple minutes.
Yeah.
Go down after.
Any questions for Dr. Dalla, Mr. Rurball, and Loganville Springfield? Okay, let's move on to discussion of a furniture proposal.
Something that, directly connected to Loganville Springfield. You'll recall at the onset of the project, we had to dramatically cut our furniture allowance to meet the budget for the project in general. At the time of these cuts, we discussed about adding certain furniture pieces back in the budget should the project remain on budget. Very proud up to this point, we've been doing well and trending well with the overall cost of the budget. And I think that just goes back to certainly the board's diligence, our staff's diligence, and working with Mr. Kendall, as well as having good, solid relationships and communication streams with our various contractors. So with that said, we are seeking, and just to put emphasis, this will be the last request for furniture. This will fulfill the entire building, but it is a quote of $36,402. Ultimately, this furniture we have, if you recall, there's six classrooms in each area. There were two classrooms in each grade level, I should say. There were two classrooms that still need furniture. So we have one in second grade as well as one in third grade. It will also help with our LGI rooms, making sure that they're furnished. As well as the outdoor seating area in the cafeteria that was originally sliced. So in order for our students to access that area, we would need some type of seating for them. Dr. Kessler and I are open to questions. I know we can bring her in if there's anything specific to the quote, but we would look to seek approval for this in July, which would allow us for the furniture to come in as needed when the project is completed.
So this is the equivalent of a change order?
Yes, in essence.
Clarification, Dr. Dahl?
Sure.
Playing this forward, pretending this does not get approved, you're saying there are two classrooms that have nothing in them, no furniture at all?
We did, if you recall, the last time we added a few, pieces of equipment. So you basically have a partial. We wouldn't be able to put a full classroom in. So if we wouldn't put a full grade level, 25 kids, that we would need additional furniture.
No doubt to do the fit out with this. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Bond fund update, Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Attached is the monthly bond fund update that we typically go through during BCPC committee meeting. Again, a couple of things I'll draw your attention to here at the very top is always the economics of what goes on in our area. You can see what the interest rates there are and how little money we are now making on the bond fund compared to previous months. We've also started, we do have two additional change orders in here, for one for Lobar and one for J.R. Reynolds. The Lobar one does encompass five different things. So again, even though the amount is what it is, there are five different changes in that. And I foresee that there are some other ones that are coming. I did have a discussion with Mr. Kendall this morning about just the timing of some of these. They are delayed in some cases, getting from the contractor to RLPS and to Mr. Kendall to then get to this level for us to list them on the list. So just something to keep an eye on and something to keep you updated with. So any questions?
Do you have any rough idea? Furniture that was just discussed would then reduce that $677,000 of
contingencies. Correct.
Okay. And do you have any sense of the ones that are sitting out there that are not yet on here?
An amount. They're probably starting to push at least a good $75,000.
Plus the furniture.
Correct.
So we're looking at
probably another $100,000.
Over $100,000.
Correct.
Thank you.
And again, some of those things right now that we've been dealing with, I'll give you a perfect example. There was a set of arborvitae trees that were supposed to go along the driveway, along the motel border. When the gas company came in and put the new gas line in, they didn't want to put it under the pavement in case there was ever an issue to dig that all up, so they sat it right next to the pavement. Well, then because of the arborvitae trees being so close, there was not enough room. So now we've had to change the different types of trees there and actually go to a smaller tree, but more of them. So there's an additional cost. So that's the kind of stuff now that we're running into. So.
Any other questions about the bond fund update? Okay, let's move on to the job descriptions for remaining paraprofessional and nursing staff. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. And we are nearing the end of the project to review and update our job descriptions. It's taken quite a while. So attached in your agenda are the six final job descriptions that we have. Dean of Students, Guidance Counselor for both the elementary and secondary, librarian, school nurse, and the teacher job descriptions for your review. So we'll be seeking your approval at the July meeting for those job descriptions. And that should end, complete the project that began back in February. And then we'll could just continue to review those over time and bring those to you as necessary.
Good. Any questions for Mr. Fisher? Finance Committee report, Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. The minutes are attached. We probably talked enough about finance tonight.
The PSBA liaison report, Mr. Bensel.
Well, we usually don't do this too often, but this will be the second resolution that I brought forward. This one's probably, it might add a little bit of calculating for administration, so that part, you can give us your ideas on that. But basically what they want us to sign and give them numbers for, most of it is for unfunded mandates and for the COVID-19, what it's costing us. And of course, like always, you send them off to your legislators.
Is there a deadline when they're? Is there a deadline associated with
that? I think this one's pretty new. Okay. I think it's still. I'd have to look that up for sure.
Okay.
I know the other one had a deadline, but this one, I think it'll be in time to the next meeting. So, I mean, you can look at that if you think it's worthwhile. Let me know, or we'll vote yes next.
I think Dr. Dahl and Mr. Rohrbaugh should weigh in on whether or not
I think the hardest thing with that is pretty well caught up and I think ready to some standpoint, but I don't think we know
what we don't know for.
Right. Yeah, that's the next couple. That's why I asked about the deadline. I mean, this is right before the start of school. I think we would have a
clear. Right. All right, I'll make sure.
Ain't I.
And then I guess it's that time for selecting voting delegates, but I think they've already announced it's going to be. It's not going to be in person. So that'll even be.
Whatever with me, I did this last year, and I was thinking we could nominate Ms. Hostler and Mr. Wingard.
I'll second that.
But the,
I don't know how they'll do that.
Put the mute button on.
Well, I'll be willing to do it again, but it's not this virtual stuff.
When do we have? Is there a deadline for designating?
There is. Look at the thing again. That's kind of why I have it on the agenda now. I don't know if we can push this or not. It's not that complicated.
It's virtually at a different time. It usually is held Friday afternoon at the conference. But
yeah, it's in the description.
It's like a Saturday.
It's going to be held Saturday, November 7th at 9 a.m., either in person or through Zoom. There will be a virtual conference in October.
Your Saturday.
Last I heard.
So it's Saturday, November 7th. What you said?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Yeah. Delegate assembly.
So that they're going to still try to do in person.
But you can do virtual. Hopefully.
Okay. Well, between now and our next meeting, if you would all look at your calendars, and if anybody would like to volunteer for that duty.
You do it in person, a little clicker.
But if not, we might have to twist some arms.
Senior, I already selected two. So.
Okay. The LIU board report, Mrs. Heaston.
I will keep this short and sweet. Basically, the LIU is doing the same thing that the districts are. They're working on reopening procedures to get all the facilities open. They're also working with like groups within the LIU districts to brainstorm ideas for reopening. I know I talked to Mr. Fisher today, and I had just asked him briefly how that was going because he's doing it on multiple different levels. And he did express that it was a good chance to get together with different people and just to brainstorm. So that was a good thing. So I'm glad to see that the LIU is doing that and helping the districts. That's all I have for that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mrs. Easton? Okay, why don't we just roll into the York Adams Academy report.
All right, I'll keep this short too. We have had 52 graduates for the June graduation, which of course we could not hold. So there was a letter that was sent out to the graduates from Dr. Snell and just, you know, congratulating them. And what's interesting is of the 52 graduates, 30 of them completed their requirements during the COVID whole thing. So that I was pretty impressed that they were able to do that because again, these are not students that typically have access to technology, so everything has to be done by paper, and it was a whole different thing. They had to come pick up paper, drop it off, all that stuff. So it was a little bit more difficult for them. They are going to be able to participate in the summer graduation if they choose. And I think we did have at least two Dallastown students that were able to complete the requirements for the June graduation. So I was glad to see that. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Good report. York Adams Tax Bureau, Mr. Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. All York Adams tax offices are open and up to full staff. They're offering all of their services. Everything's covered except counter service. There was a board meeting on Wednesday, June 3rd, last week, and I just have a lot of guesswork to share with you, not a whole lot of facts, but things that you might find interesting. That tax collections in April were actually up compared to last April, but collections down in May, and the reason why they think that that's happening is because of all of the extensions that were granted. The bad news is they are expecting a lot of delinquencies, yet there's just a lot of guesswork involved in those delinquencies. Al Timko, the executive director, feels that he's not going to really be able to give actual numbers for 7 to 8 weeks till things play out. He does anticipate potentially a 15% drop in revenue. In speaking with Mr. Robar earlier, I think he prudently is looking at anticipating 25% to err on the safe side. So anyhow, the executive director is looking at perhaps a 15% drop in revenue because of the current situation we find ourselves in. He said the drop is going to be based a lot on the unemployment numbers. And as of last week, nationally, those numbers aren't too good, as everyone knows. That's 24%. Our state is 15.1%. York County, 15.3%. And it's definitely going to affect revenue for everybody. As Mr. Pantano said, though, probably about an hour and a half ago, the EIT is down 38.56%, which is not a good number. However, employer collections are up 2.11%. Just one thing that's a little bit of good news. Due to the current circumstances, the board voted to drop its 2% funding, or its 5% recommended cap reserve to 2%. And as Dallas Town receives 3.97% of what the YATB brings in, they're looking at our share of the 2019 op fund excess would be somewhere around $31,000. So that's hopefully short enough.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wingarten? Good report. And let's move to our final information item of the evening, and Mr. Lytle, the York County School of Technology.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. The meeting was held May 28th virtually. The details are attached in the minutes. The one thing that we did do was highlight the seniors and approve the list of graduates. That's always a highlight. I appreciate the partnership. They quickly responded to the Dallas Town model, and there's a lot of cooperation. They give the kids a stage walk. They put together a virtual graduation that was then broadcast. It's still online.
Where did they have their stage? They were outside somewhere.
Out front.
Out front.
Okay. Yeah. That was working. Nice.
So, and again, their staff really worked well with making the seniors feel comfortable. They had the photos and the different opportunities. So despite the regulations, it was very, like us, student-focused and a lot of participation. So they did complete the year well. Again, they're facing the same issues we are with reopening. Our next meeting is end of June. So we'll see what happens then, and we'll keep you informed. But it's all go. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lytle. That ends our information items, the calendar of board events. Tuesday, July 14th, there's a board workshop, team retreat, virtually all day, followed by an executive session in the afternoon. Our next regularly scheduled board meeting will be July 16th at 7:30. A to be determined senior salute, hopefully. And Monday, August 17th is a policy committee meeting. And our August board meeting is on Thursday, August 20th. There are no conference requests. Now's time for any board comments or correspondence.
I have a quick board comment. So Dr. Dahl said it earlier, but I'd really like to thank Dr. Fletcher and his team and Dr. Dahl and Dr. Heffler for graduation. As the mom of a senior, you really made it nice. And I think everybody that I've talked to and heard from you know, there was a lot of back and forth, a lot of frustration, I'm sure on all sides building up to it, but you really did pull it together and make it a really, really nice event. So thank you for all of that effort. I appreciate
it. That's very nice. Very well done.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
I know that it's late, but I'm on a roll and my emotions are running high tonight.
Okay.
So if I could. I was revisiting a letter that I wrote to my fellow board members in early May. I'd like to take a moment, if you indulge me, I'd like to read an excerpt of that letter to the public and follow up with a few comments. This letter was sent in 1 month ago in early May. Several of us were up on the roof of the high school facing the heady costs of replacement and repair. In part, the letter reads, "The sky was blue, the sun was shining, the birds were chirping, and finally we had some adult face-to-face conversation. It was nice to be with people again. I wanted to share some thoughts with you that occurred to me while on the roof. It really got me thinking more and more about our students and how they must be feeling. Feeling to have been so abruptly ripped away from the life as they know it. So abruptly ripped away from friends they love. So abruptly ripped away from activities they love. School, music, sports, prom, graduation. It feels like we may not know the educational emotional toll for years to come. We've taken so much from these kids. Some days I really struggle to wonder, was it or is it all really worth it? As probably many of you have received comments from the community as to how well Dr. Dahl and his team and our teachers have navigated this trying time. Many are thankful that he is the one leading our district through this. Great job, Dr. Dahl, and thank you for me as well. Sadly, in my humble opinion, the same cannot be said for PDE leadership. Secretary Rivera stated on a call that schools would, quote, likely not reopen in the fall, unquote. Personally, I know of one of nine, but I find this statement totally irresponsible, lacking of leadership, and most importantly, a crushing blow to the emotional health and well-being of our kids and all the kids in PA. We've taken everything from these kids this year, and now sitting here in early May, even before the end of the 1920 year, he's suggesting we cannot start 2021 year on time, literally crushing any hope that next year will be normal. That was 1 month ago, and now we have this. Dated June 3rd, preliminary guidance for phased reopening of pre-K to 12 schools in Pennsylvania. I read through this document, as many of you probably have. Much of it is suggestion. Much of it has become not relevant based on new information from the CDC and the World Health Organization on how this disease is actually spread. And frankly, much of it is simply not doable. It's not doable from a financial perspective. It's not doable from a facilities perspective. It's not doable from a staffing perspective. No matter if you believe the shutdown was needed or not, no matter if you believe in this disease or not, the simple fact is that the information is changing day by day, and I'll go with Mrs. Trout. It's almost hour by hour at this point. Now, a lot has changed since I wrote that letter in early May, but this document is not leadership. In 1 hour and 53 minutes, your county moves to green. Whatever that means.
Open.
Whatever green means. We seem to be moving the goalpost on what green means. And yet here our administrators and our staff are trying to put together a 2021 school year, and every hour the goalpost is moving further away. It's time for the school districts of Pennsylvania to stand up, and it's time for the school districts of Pennsylvania to stand together and create their own plan. I have hope for that. I don't know that it'll happen. It's time to get back to educating. It's time for our kids to get back to their sports. It's time for them to get back to their activities that they love, arts, band, their clubs. It's time to get them back to face-to-face education from our dedicated teachers and our dedicated staff. It's time. I'm sorry, I'm very impassioned about this statement. I wanted to make it for quite a while. I trust that Dr. Dahl will bring us a plan. I trust it'll be a good plan. I trust it'll be, despite this guidance,
And I, for one, will be the first one standing behind him to support him on it. It's time to get our kids back. Thank you for indulging me. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The other...
Yeah, I'll be quick. I'm glad to be back. It's nice to be face-to-face with everybody. It was really frustrating to be in our cave. Thank you to Mr. Stauffer and the team for arranging this. And I hope it's here to stay now. That said, from a perspective, it was a pain. It's been a painful process. I'm really concerned. It's behind us. I'm really concerned that we're becoming way too analytical in numbers. And you know, when I came on, we had a pretty, you know, it was all about the environment. You know, even at the time you did your 10-year look back, that's about when I was coming on. You know, we had a really high paid staff then. You know, we had the resources to do what we needed to do. You know, we were writing checks to anybody, and it was pretty even, and it was pretty, you know, pretty lucrative. But it was still about the environment, because there just wasn't that cohesion and that character, and the, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, number analysis even then, and it was really about the paychecks, and it was just, that was the self-worth, and that was the measuring. I'm just concerned as we move forward. Got a lot of pressures on us, and I think we all have to do our job. I think we have to check our egos. I think we have to move on and make the right decisions. We all need to stay in our lane, as you've said when you were first coming in, and trust the three legs of the stool. And let's do our job to, we need to manage and set the overall guidance as directors, and we need to have the trust. We need to make sure that you're doing your job and you're managing and implementing, and you're relying on the feedback that you're getting, and that the staff and the teams and the teachers are doing their job. And I think now's the time to put passes. We have a decision and we have a course. I don't like the Tony's course that it's only 1 year. I applaud Mr. Pantano for approving the personnel report and getting on board with this now. I think now is the time to make this thing work. And now is the time to concentrate on the environment. We need to be cognizant of the numbers. But we got to roll up our sleeves, because it's not getting any better. And we all have to be passionate and be forward and thinking. And let's just, now the hard work really does begin. I mean,
agreed.
The reality is, you know, and soon we'll be laying our parameters for 2021, you know, the next year already. So through 21, 22. So, but again, I thank you for your time.
Darrell, one thing, I appreciate your comments, and I agree with a lot of them, but just put a bow on everything here. But I did a favor for a friend last week, and it involved graduation. And so I got to thinking about graduates and things. And one thing occurs to me, we talk about things taken from kids and how bad it was. I haven't heard one kid complain. Maybe I'm not around enough of them, but I'm around enough of them. None of them really complained. What they did do is they went out and served the community. They made face masks. They helped their people. So it was terrible. I'm not taking away from that, but we're in good hands going forward, because these kids graduating now really got things figured out. So if the adults would get out of the way, I think we'd be in better shape. But so.
Good.
Any other board comments?
I just want to make two quick comments. First of all, I want to thank Dr. Dahl and the administration for allowing the board to participate in the graduation. I was there for the first hour. It was great to congratulate the seniors individually. I didn't do much, but it was nice to be able to say congratulations to them. So I appreciate everyone allowing us to be there. Second, Mrs. Kirby wanted to know how this hybrid was working with some of us doing Zoom. I do miss being there in person, guys, but I do appreciate that I can do this as Zoom and not miss the meeting at all. So I'm hoping that you guys can hear me okay, but everything on my end is working well, and I can hear you guys well, and it works perfect. So thanks. Wonderful.
Good. Any other more comments? Okay, let's move to our second and final opportunity for comments from the public. If you have wish to make a comment, again, I would ask you to limit it to 2 minutes or less, and indicate your desire to make a comment by doing the wave feature on Zoom, and you'll be recognized by Mr. Stauffer.
We do have one hand raised at the time.
name is Jillian Kohler. Jillian, you should be able to unmute yourself.
May you proceed with your comment?
Jillian, you are able to unmute yourself. I'm assuming no comment.
Okay. Any other indications of a comment?
No other hands are raised at this time.
No other hands.
Okay. Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.